interest in your prayers. Tonight we want to finish out chapter 4. James chapter 4. Our last lesson taught us to ensue or to work for peace instead of strife, being God's friend. Being God's friend. Remember, we talked about how that he that's the friend of the world is the enemy of God. We don't want to be the enemy of God. So we want to be, so we don't want to be the friend of the world. Now, so taught us how to work for peace instead of strife by being God's friend. In other words, humble ourselves, submit to righteousness, resist the devil while we draw nigh to God. All those things were taught to us in that lesson. That person will be lifted up by the Lord. This lesson, if heeded, you know, that's the way it is with all of the Bible, isn't it? If we take heed to it, there'll be a blessing. This lesson, if heeded, moves us on to perfection in calling attention to some things commonly overlooked, but which are seen by God as sin. Again, like we said so many times, one of the blessings of regularly reading the Scriptures is that it helps us think the way God thinks. This old nature of ours will begin to start having its impact upon us and influencing our decisions and our affections and those kinds of things if we're not regularly reminded of God's Word. So we need that so that we're thinking about sin the way God does. And we're recognizing sin the way God does. Okay? So verse 11. Speak not evil one to another, brethren. He that speaketh evil to his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. We're still being instructed on the use of the tongue. Right? That's a big part of the lesson of the book of James. You know, we've only got one tongue. Yes. We sure use it, though, don't we? All right. I'm glad we don't have 1,000 tongues. All right. So we're still being instructed. We still need to be reminded, don't we? It's so easy to come out with something that's just not edifying. Okay, so we're still being taught about the tongue, and this naturally follows the lesson of avoiding strife. Those who have rigid opinions must be careful not to become judgmental and critical of others' positions. This lesson was likely needed to help the Jews reconcile just what was acceptable practice now and what was still forbidden by the law of liberty. You know, the New Testament, Paul wrote to the Galatians about circumcision, how that the Jewish people, the Jews, were wanting to hold on to that circumcision of the Old Testament. I mean, God had told them that they were to keep that ordinance forever. So they didn't understand that it was fulfilled in the New. But no doubt there were other things that they had always been taught that were different, that they had to come to grips with just what the New Testament and what the Lord Jesus would have us to do. All right, so no doubt there was some things, there was perhaps some contention there among God's people, and they needed to be a little more charitable in their dealings. All right, we all serve the Lord with the level of understanding we have at that time. So if we differ in what we understand to be right, we need to be patient and reason among ourselves, not condoning sinful behavior, but also not condemning someone else because they don't do exactly as we think it ought to be. In other words, be charitable one to another, kind, long-suffering. But we do want to follow as closely as we can to the Lord. Now, earlier, James had cautioned against offending in word and for the need of controlling the tongue by admonishing that we be not many masters, back in chapter 3, verse 1. That is, don't form a habit of always telling others how they ought to behave. Each of us should strive to understand as much as we can about how we should live, ask the Lord for wisdom to do it, and walk humbly each day before Him as our judge. We judge ourselves. We take His word. We try to live as closely as we can to it. All right? This will keep us from being critical of others and judging their heart when we don't know everything that's going on in their life. And you know that makes a difference. And again, we're not talking about condoning any sin. But some folks have gone through some real struggles. We need to be charitable. We need to be patient. If we go beyond what the law of liberty requires, we're putting ourselves above it and imposing our preferences on the situation and not being charitable. God has called us to peace. Okay? Now, I broke out the rest of that verse. So he says, but if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Okay? Once again, we are to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Haven't we heard that before? Doers of the word. One place he says doers of the work. All right, so that would be, which is consistent with God's word, the teaching of his word. Now, are any of us doing everything right? But we need to strive for that, don't we? I mean, that's the mark that we press toward. We need to be a good example first. Then we can admonish others to follow. But no one's interested in being instructed nor in following those who are not doers of the word themselves. Right? Jesus pointed that out in Matthew 23 about the Pharisees. He repeatedly pointed that out about the Pharisees. So we want to beg the Lord for wisdom. We want to understand as much as we can about the Word. And we want to follow Him as closely as we can. Obviously, James is not saying that we shouldn't try to encourage others to more godliness. Certainly, we need to do that. But he is saying to be careful not to criticize and judge God's little ones, insisting on more... Let me say that again. He's saying we need to be careful not to criticize and judge God's little ones, insisting on more than God's word requires. Okay? Now, verse 12, he says, there's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. We know who that is, don't we? All right? So he asks the question, who art thou that judgest another? God will deal with those who transgress his law. He did it in the Old Testament, and he does it in the New, doesn't he? He's the same. He does it, he deals with his children. Now, at times, the church must recognize the waywardness of members and deal appropriately. But we shouldn't always be judging others and looking for those to criticize. That spirit is not seeking after godliness, but is seeking to dominate or divide and thinking too highly of one's opinion. Now we have to be careful about that, don't we? Instead, we're to be humble servants who seek for unity in Christ and peace among ourselves. Our focus is to be upon Christ and how we can please Him. And that is our full-time job given by our lawgiver. And with me, it's a full-time job. Maybe you're doing a better job of it than I am, but with me, it's a full-time job. All right? Now, next, we move from this lesson to not be critical and judgmental to one that teaches how we should always remember our own frailty and limitations. We often think too highly of ourselves and of our abilities, especially when it comes to our plans. So he says in verse 13, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain." Now, what's wrong with that statement? What's that? There you go. We've all been taught that, haven't we? But how easy is that to overlook? All right? When we boast or just presume that we will be doing thus or so, we do so without properly acknowledging that we can so easily be thwarted in our plans. In other words, we're not thinking about the Lord. We're just going our own way, making our own plans, building our own life or whatever. Okay? Only God can say with certainty what shall be, right? Isaiah 46 and 10. I used to quote that a lot. I haven't quoted it as much here lately. But in verse 9, he says, "Remember the former things of old, for thou art God." There's none else. Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God. There's none like me, he says. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." God can say that. He has said it, and He can say it because He does just that. We can't say that, can we? Now, obviously, we need to make plans and prepare for what we want to do. But at the same time, we need to remember to say, "Not my will." Boy, haven't we encountered that thought in James a lot? "Not my will." Are we seeing a pattern here? We have a tendency to want my will. Not thy will. All right, so we need to be reminded, don't we? That helps us to remember our limitations, keeps our feet more firmly set on a right foundation. If you start off on the wrong foot, if you start off in the wrong way, you're going to have trouble, aren't you? All right, so he goes on. He said, verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. Well, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Brother Royce selected that hymn, "Time, what an empty vapor is." I believe he'd been doing his homework. Like the rest of you, I don't know. What is your life? I used to talk about being a young preacher. That's slipping away. I don't see how. It hadn't been that long. Right? You know, I'm not accustomed to talking about things 50 years ago, but I can do that now. And some of you can go farther back. Life is, what is your life? How long is it? Doesn't seem like all that long, does it? Maybe there's been a lot of water under the bridge. Maybe there's been a lot of miles. But even if we live beyond the age of Methuselah, what is that compared to eternity? And so, since we're not likely to live as long as Methuselah, maybe a tenth, maybe. That would be 96, wouldn't it? Almost 97. Not very likely, is it? Just going by the numbers. But even so, a tenth. It'll be gone before you know it. James describes it like a vapor. When we realize the brevity, the frailty, the uncertainty of life itself, then we understand this admonition. Like seeing your breath on a cold day that quickly fades from sight, so are our lives before God. But God is still the same. Now, isn't that wonderful? You know, we take these prayer requests and we hear about the condition of so many, some passing away, even like little Molly, just a few years old. But even if we were 120 and pass away, God's not affected at all by time. And so, what is your life? We've got a little while. We've got a little while to walk before God, to try to please the Lord out of thanksgiving and gratitude for all He's already done for us. We have that opportunity right now and tomorrow and the next day and the next day to say thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. What is your life? Has your life been filled with gratitude and thanksgiving? Has your life been filled with wanting to help others? What is your life? Whatever it has been, we've got now. And if it's His will, we've got tomorrow. If it's His will. And that's the point James is making, isn't it? If it's His will. Everything we do, we should have the presence of mind. Say, Lord, if it's your will. If it's your will. So what do we say about that? If we're lifted up in pride and are thinking too highly of our own plans and schemes, then we may quickly be disappointed. Have you ever been disappointed that something didn't work out the way you wanted it to?
Lots of times.
Yeah. And if you live much longer, there'll be some more, won't it?
Yes, sir.
All right? Every day we should awake with the thought that our every breath and every step should be with the presence of mind that it is before Him. I've just really been, that thought has just followed me here lately, that everything is before Him. You know, it's something that you know, but there's times when you don't think about it that much, right? But all of our life is before Him. So what is your life? Has it pleased God? Has it been according to His will? We've got today. We've got tonight. We've got tomorrow, if it's His will. So it's before Him. That, brethren, sets our focus, our attention, and priority, and it gives us all, gives all of us a proper perspective to remember the Lord, that we're walking before Him. Life can change very rapidly and dramatically beyond our control. I mean, it doesn't take much at all to realize you're not in control of very much at all.
We really not in control of anything.
You're probably right.
Yeah. I mean, if we do God's will, we're in control. But if we do it on our own, we're not in control.
Yeah. That's right. So verse 15, he tells us how we ought to say. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Note the perspective, the truth, the submission, the realization that only God knows the future with absolute certainty. Now, I'm thankful that He does. I'm also thankful I don't. Yeah. But He knows, and that's so comforting, isn't it? That God knows. And so, only He can properly speak of what will be in the future. And His word does that, doesn't it? One of the real blessings of going back and reading in the Old Testament, there's times when you'll find God telling about something that's going to happen hundreds of years into the future. And it happened just like He said it would. No surprise there, is it? But it strengthens us. It gives us more stability. The more we understand God is in control, He does know everything, and He's in charge of the situation. It can look like things are out of control so many times in this world. It's never out of God's hands. As this verse says, we don't even know if we'll be alive to carry out our plans. But if it is His will, then we can pursue them with vigor and hope to be blessed in all our deeds. Doesn't that make a tremendous difference? When you have the presence of mind, say, if it's the Lord's will, that puts us in our place. That reminds us where God is on His throne, if it's His will. And it's comforting too, isn't it? All right. Verse 16. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. Now there was a real need for these things to be taught then, and there's a real need for it now. Okay? So these lessons haven't outlived themselves. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Evidently, their attitude wasn't what it should be when it came to seeking the Lord's will for their plans. How about us today? Perhaps we've gotten better about it, but it's easy to let it slip, isn't it? So we need the lesson. We so carelessly assume and trust in our own abilities and wisdom. Further, we think nothing of it when we do. But how does James label this attitude? Evil. If it didn't matter, then it would fall under the heading of Christian liberty. And we have those, don't we? But that's not the case. God's word says it's actually evil to be boasting about what we're going to do. Now, does that, when we understand that God calls it evil, does that change our perspective? I hope it does, if it needs changing, that is. I hope it helps us to understand that these boastings, and you know, it's, a lot of times it's not those proud boastings of exalting yourself above others. It's just boldly saying you're going to do something without thinking, well, wait a minute, I'll do it if it's the Lord's will. That's the presence of mind that we're being taught in this lesson. All right? Are we too lax when it comes to what God actually calls evil? Yes, in many ways. Perhaps we just didn't know, or perhaps we have let it slip. Either way, God feels the same about it. It is evil. Again, we're talking about boasting about what you're going to do without putting it in the context of if it's the Lord's will. So may we humble ourselves, acknowledge our need of Him in and over all that we hope to do, and seek to know His will for us and go about doing it as doers of the work for His glory. For His glory. That's right. That's right. We're walking before Him to His pleasure. All right. Now verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now this is one of those lessons where it has a, you know, obviously the context determines what he's talking about. But this is one of those principles that can be applied in many ways. If we know to do good and do it not, it's sin. My goodness. That opens up a can of worms, doesn't it? How much do we know that we're not doing? Okay? For this lesson, don't be critical of others, and don't presume too much for yourself, thinking you can do anything without the help of the Lord. Okay? You know, John chapter 15, Jesus talks about how that He's the true vine, we're the branches. And without me, you can do what? Nothing. That kind of limits it, doesn't it? All right? Every day should find us looking to the Lord for wisdom and protection as we go about doing His will for us in this life. Every day. I hope you're doing that already. But James is pointing out here, or the Holy Spirit led James to point out, that there were some that weren't. Some didn't have that perspective. Some didn't have that remembrance of seeking daily help and guidance and submitting ourselves to the fact that if it's the Lord's will, we'll do this or that. It was something that God took up space in His Word to teach His people. And we're still teaching it tonight because we still need to hear it. We still need to be reminded. We still need that good influence of the Holy Spirit teaching us what we need to be doing. This principle can also be applied to any good things which could be done by us whenever the opportunity presents itself. As you go through your day, have you ever, I think I touched on this with the last couple of thoughts, but let me just go ahead and say it this way. When you're going through your day, have you ever had a thought or impression of the heart come to mind to do something good for somebody? Maybe somebody's crossing your path and you have an opportunity to, just maybe it's just some small thing. But for whatever reason, you choose not to do it. You ever been there? think we've all been there. Did it make you feel good? No. No. You know why? Because you didn't follow the leadership of the Spirit. You chose to do something contrary to what the Spirit was leading us to do. It creates conflict, doesn't it? Between the flesh and the Spirit. How wonderful that God has given us His Spirit to teach us, to lead us, to give us those impressions of the mind, to cause us to rejoice when we do righteously, and to convict us when we don't. How wonderful is that? It ought to be something that we cherish and thank God for every day. There are so many times the Spirit will lead us in the right way when we've forgotten what the Word says. Now, we may remember the principle, but we might not be able to quote the Scripture. Do you suppose the Lord knew that we'd need such help? I think so. I'm persuaded. He knew what's best. He still knows what's best, doesn't He? So if it's the Lord's will, we will do whatever we plan to do. So, if we sense that the will of God would have us to do one thing, but we choose to do another, then we've chosen to prefer our will over His. And that's sin. That's sin. We might not think about it. We might think it's always just a small thing. It doesn't sound like to me the Lord looks upon it as a small thing. He looks upon it as another opportunity for us to say, I love You, Lord. And if we choose to follow our own desires instead of the leading of His Spirit, then we've chosen not to tell Him we love Him. If you love somebody and they don't show it in return, how does that make you feel? So then let's extend that to the Lord and all of those tokens that He gives us every day we live. And we miss it. And we know there's times that we come short, but there's other times we don't even give it a passing thought. That's when our mind needs to be renewed. That's when our heart needs to be softened. That's when we need to remember Romans 12 says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And he goes on to say not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. These lessons are simply stated, but they are simply profound. It's God's wisdom. It's what He would have us to know so that we can walk in peace with Him, in peace with one another, and be mindful of our actions. And remember, it's His will that's the most important. If it's the Lord's will, we'll do such and such. Think about that. Next time you're making some plans, try to remember, Lord, if it's your will, we want this to happen. All right. Any questions or comments? Yes.
How
Go ahead.
Regarding that article that you had written on Pulpit, and it's hand in hand with what you're saying right now, for us to, it's where we're asking you to deliver us from what evil.
Mm-hmm.
And you really brought out a good comment to invite God in your mind, in your everyday walk, your achievement, whatever you're doing during the day, just in, because we know God's already there anyway.
Right.
But it's the different perspective that you know. I did that. And I was a little nervous about it, you understand. But what I'm saying, and I just really want to share this because, you know, that particular morning, I just said, you know, Lord, come with me today. Just kind of like you're inviting me into your mind and to be beside you, to be in front of you. And so when I got to work, I had that in my memory. Okay, he's right there in front of me. You know, when I pick up that phone, he's listening to everything I'm saying. It works, let me tell you. But you have to do this daily. And so, with my memory, y'all pray for me on my memory. But the point that I haven't said all of that, if you do that, you invite him in your mind, you're keeping in your mind that he is just right there, like in the car with you, if you will, and all of that. And like I was on the phone and working in mental health, you can get irritated. But we know that's not in the will of God. But as I began my duty, then I remembered, oh my goodness, God's here. And believe it or not, go back home. Because if nothing else, you'll step back and you'll give it thought that this is a special invitation that you ask him to go with you on every step, you know. And that was a day that I will never forget. But it works, Brother Clayton. Mm-hmm. It works. It's that special deal that you're inviting him on in. But if you're aware that he's there and you know that he's there, are you going to really say and do? You know, are you going to, you know, are you're going to want to just do what you know God wants you to do? You know, I'm still doing that. I forget sometimes.
Yeah.
I forget, but I've got a copy of that article in my desk just as a reminder, and it helps.
Good.
It is good. I would encourage everyone to just try, you know. But it caught my attention. It really did. And I believe with all my heart, God led you to print that without a doubt. But it will, when it can make you stop and think, that's good.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Anything else? All right. Somebody have a number to close with?